9 days in a row. And it would go away for a couple days, and then it would start again. I wasn't necessarily right away asking God, what does this mean? But I was very curious what this would lead up to and what this was leading up to. Thursday afternoon, my wife and I were sitting in our home, having a bitey, as we call it, eating, and Elva looked and she said, "Honey, you have got the most humongous gold flake in your right ear." And shame on us, on me. "Oh, really?" Took another bite. You know, we assumed,
after 7 or 8 days
of it,
right?
Instead of jumping up and doing a couple, you know, cartwheels, backflips, as we should. Thank you, Lord, you know, for such a gift, for heaven's sakes. How often do we see this on earth? You know. Anyway, she was very tired. She didn't get much sleep the night before, so she went to bed quite early, about 8 o'clock. I stayed in my chair. I read some scripture, did some other things. And I got to thinking about that gold flake in my ear. So I got up and went to the bathroom and looked at in the mirror and twisted my ear around. I couldn't see it. I thought, oh, darn. And I had a green shirt on, and along the seam of the shirt, I noticed a big gold flake. And so I reached over to grab it because of my diabetes. I couldn't grasp it. I couldn't get a hold of it. So I just had to get the gold flake off my shirt. So I bent over and I flicked my shirt like this. Well, it fell down onto a little hand mirror that I had beside the sink, and looked at it and thought, "Wow, that's beautiful." And as I looked into that and looked at that gold flake on the hand mirror, something drew my eyes to the big mirror in front of me. And in my mouth, you know, something was odd. The Lord guided my eyes to my mouth, my face in the mirror. And I went back to the mirror and I put my hand, I went like this, I looked. Praise God, here are the most beautiful, perfect, pure, in line, solid from top to bottom, gold teeth that the Lord had placed in my mouth down on the bottom right here. I've been asked, "Did you feel it? Did you feel anything?" There's a picture that we took this morning, as best as we could get for right now. The first tooth that you see, there was no tooth there. The second one, the tooth had been broken. My teeth are in very, very terrible shape. All of the teeth, the third one back again, was gone down below the gum line. This is truly from God. There is no dentist, there is no man who can get his hand, could ever handle, I believe, that,
or do that
pure,
do that, good
that
work.
Perfect gold. This is only from God. Now, let me say this. This is the important part of this, okay? I truly believe, I know my wife and I have been praying a lot for God to continue showing us these signs, miracles, these wonders, you know, new dreams, new visions. You know, the Lord, Pastor said it, we've talked about it. The Lord is strategically placed us here, people that He's bringing in here. He's using. He's blessing.
Yes.
You know, this might be in my mouth, yes, but you know, as we are one, Elva and I are one, okay? For the body, we are one. We all need to take joy in this.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Because I truly believe we are all going to receive blessings.
Yes.
Lord is going to, I'm telling you, we have not seen the beginning of it.
Yes.
This is the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
And so I guess
we all should be saying yes, 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 yes.
You know, and if I
agree, could, agree.
You know, I would be doing. I mean, I can fly right now. I have been on such a high, and like I told the men's breakfast yesterday, you know, we are God's children, and we are so blessed. And you know, we do kind of like yo-yos. Thank you. Our temperature, you know, we do go up and down. Well, our Father, you know, does not want us lukewarm. Certainly prefers to be burning on fire. You got, everybody knows that. You know, and if anything, cold, but not lukewarm. But we need to find the way to stay filled with the Spirit. Amen. We need to be walking and functioning, living in the supernatural. And make it the natural. Because
all right.
Jesus did, and that's what he expects of us. Come expecting.
Yeah.
You get what you receive out of it. So
all right.
Anyway, thank you.
Great. Man, that was awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You did an awesome job. That was good. You pretty much encapsulated everything right there. And, yeah. Wow. Does anybody else need any gold teeth in here? Huh? Praise report from Nels, real quick. Wow. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to be back. There are no caps on us, you know. Hats off to Jesus, right?
Amen.
And we're under an open heaven, so we just want to be led by the Spirit. Wherever the Lord wants us to go, whatever He wants us to do. If God builds a house, it will stand. If we try to manipulate it and do it the way we think we should, or the way the Joneses did down the road, it just doesn't work. It's got to be very carefully constructed as the Lord gives us direction. We have our part to do, and if we do what we're supposed to do, He'll do the rest. And God is strategically putting people together in this location for such a time as this. There is glory, amen? It's already happening, but it's because this city is sin sick and it needs an invasion from heaven. And we're the people God is raising up to do so. And we're going to need mentors and teachers and helpers and people. God is bringing together. He's bringing leaders here as well. And so this is just because God is indeed going to do something that's going to really blow us all away. When you know, when it's God when it blows you away, right? Right, Phil? And swell. Swell, Wally. Oh, wow. What time is it? Well, we have 15 minutes to get 3 hours of sermon in, so. I never pay attention to the clock, but I'm going to try to be mindful of what God is doing. Isn't that important? You know, don't go beyond what He's telling me to do. Father, I just pray for Your help today. Holy Spirit, take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us, we pray. Lord, seal the Word in every heart. Transform us, Lord, into Your glorious image. We want to be like You, Jesus. We can't do it ourselves, but we ask that You will, Lord, just change us, change our hearts. And Lord, He who began a good work is faithful to complete it. And so we know, Lord, that God, this is only the beginning of something that is so great to come, yet. And we should not look at that which is momentary, at that which is just temporary, but we should look at that which is eternal. Father, we pray that that which is invisible become visible. We pray the eternal kingdom of our God and of His Christ will come. Hallelujah. Lord, we know You shall reign. The day is coming when You shall reign over all the earth. And we anticipate and we look forward to the day when Jesus shall return. And He shall come in clouds of glory. And every eye shall see Him. Lord, we're looking for that day. And we're looking unto You, the author and the finisher of our faith. So, Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name for the inspiration of Your Spirit, Lord, that the Word will come alive and quicken each one of us, Lord, that we will receive manna from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I'm just going to read something from Psalms 95, verse 6. It says, "Oh, come, let us worship." We've been talking about worship, bringing heaven to earth. "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." Do not harden your hearts. This is a word for us as well, you know. As in the rebellion, and as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they proved me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, "It is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways." And then he said, "I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us that there is a rest for God's people. There is a rest for us. In Messiah, in Christ, there is rest. We are not to operate out of stress, but out of rest. We are not to be motivated by our anxieties and our fears, but by the peace of God. Amen? By the love of Christ. We are to be motivated by the Spirit. We are to be led by the Spirit. Don't ever do anything out of anxiety or fear. You'll get yourself in trouble very quickly. You'll get yourself into a situation, because when we try to save ourselves, we end up losing ourselves. We lose our way, do we not? There's a lot of plans that are in our hearts, a lot of our ideas and our ways that, you know, sometimes we just think that God needs to bless my idea because it's such a smart idea. And how many of us really sincerely take it before God and say, "God, what do You think about this?" You know? "Oh, but I want it so badly. I don't want to ask Him. He may not approve of it." But if He doesn't approve of it, believe me, it's not good for you. You don't want that. But we do that sometimes, don't we? We're learning. We're learning how to lean on Jesus. You know, if we are going to see the Lord and His kingdom come, then we must be worshipers. We must be worshipers. John 4:23, "The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship." Amen? Such to worship Him. What is worship? Worship is giving honor and devotion to the One who deserves the honor and devotion. Amen? The worship Jesus is speaking of is a reverent devotion and allegiance to God. Worship is not just coming together on Sunday morning and singing a few songs and having an offering and listening to a little sermonette and going home. That's part of worship. But worship is supposed to be a way of life. We are the vessel of the Holy Spirit. We are the church of Jesus Christ wherever we go. We really are a church without walls. Amen? We meet in a building, but we are a church without walls. And the church, amen, of Jesus Christ is spread out through the earth. And we need to hook together, link together with the Lord and His people to accomplish the purposes, the will of God. May His kingdom come and may His will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. There has to be a coming together. It's not going to happen because we come together with some clever ideas and some clever programs and say, "Well, what do you think of that, bro?" It's like, what does God have to say about it? That is the key. We must hear from the Lord. The early church was a church that was known because they were followers of Jesus. Amen. Because they did what the Holy Spirit directed them to do. They were learning from the example of Jesus as He said, "As my Father speaks, I speak, and as I see my Father do, I do." And we are to do the same thing. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. Amen. And what you pray, I pray. We have to be in agreement. We have to be in a cooperation with the Holy Spirit to have life and peace. Amen. There is no life and peace without cooperation with God. God is much smarter than we are. He's always got a better idea. We've got to lay ourselves down, our agenda down, and if God tells you to pick it up, then pick it up, but not until He tells you to. Because we all want God's blessing. We all want God's people do. They want God to smile on them. And so we're learning what it is that pleases God. And what we are learning is how to walk by faith. Faith is operating in a place that is beyond what we're capable of. If our Christian experience is only what we're capable of, then it's only of us and it's not of God. God always stretches us beyond ourselves. God is supernatural. God moves in the supernatural realm. Would you agree? And in order for people to genuinely get saved and get healed and get set free and get delivered, there must be an intervention from heaven on the earth. And so we must pray, "Thy kingdom come and will be done." And prayer is a form of worship. Praying on behalf of others, intercession, amen, is a form of worship. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord is a form of worship, amen. Come before His presence with singing. Giving thanks, giving praise is a form of worship. Giving offerings, amen, sacrificial giving is all worship to God. God delights in these things. These are spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to Him. Amen? No longer does a lamb have to be slain to cover my sin. Jesus has finished that. We're no longer in that. We're now walking in life, in new life. We are people of the kingdom. Amen? We have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah. And we have entered into new life, and we are to walk in that life. And we walk it out by faith. Faith is trusting God. Faith is believing God for the impossible. How many of us ever thought that we'd be sitting even in a church this morning? I know years ago it was unheard of for me to be in church. But God, amen? Heaven invaded my reality and moved the blinders away from my eyes, where I thought I just had it together. You got two kinds of people, you know, down and outers and up and outers. Right? We're all out without Jesus. We got to be in with Christ. We got to be tight with Jesus. And God has looked for a people whose heart would be loyal to Him, for a people who would worship Him in spirit, from the heart, in the spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And in truth, that means to be in alignment with the will, with the plan, with the desire of the Father. He is the truth, isn't He? To live out the truth, to walk out the truth. It's not enough to know about the truth. We must live the truth. And you cannot live the truth unless you know the truth. And that is Jesus Christ. And when we come and we walk in relationship with He who is the truth, then truth is manifested through our lives. Wherever God is, there's going to be a change. Wherever light is, darkness is going to tremble. Amen? When there's an invasion of that which is really real, that which is a lie is exposed. And when Jesus shows up and somebody gets healed, somebody gets saved, somebody gets delivered, amen, the argument is over. It's no longer a theological debate. It's God is alive, amen? He is real. When somebody gets gold teeth and they go in and say, "We never seen any gold like this before." Fortunately, they're just too pretty. They don't want to touch those teeth. You know, we don't need to send it in for evaluation. We know who it was. Do I understand all these things? No. I don't understand why God does things like this, except that I do know this, that He loves us. He just loves us. He's just loving. And Phil and Elva, they love Jesus so much. And God's, and it is so obvious, they just ooze the love of Jesus, you know? And it should cause us, it should create in us a greater desire and hunger and thirst for Him. Say, wow. You know, Phil was telling me, he's saying, God, he heard a story about, you know, other people receiving these teeth and fillings, sometimes just fillings. But he said, God, would you ever do anything like that for me? Because, man, he's just, you know, his teeth have been a mess. And it, you can't afford, I mean, dentists today are just astronomical unless you've got some really good plan. And listen, and I believe this. I believe this, that what he said is prophetic and that God is going to be releasing more and more of these things. He's going to let the people that are in his pasture, his people, amen, know that he's going to take care of us. We don't have to depend on the government. And if God has to, God can bring water from a rock, amen? And he can rain manna down from heaven. God's going to take care of us. We just need to be in a place, amen, where we are not operating out of stress, but out of rest. Amen. Just learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed. It's in the place of weakness is his strength. It's in the place where my inability, amen, can be swallowed up with his ability. I can't do it, but he can. I can't heal the sick, but he can. But we believe God when we pray. When people come up for prayer. Amen? It's not, are you coming up to be prayed for again, but what? You came up to be healed. Well, this is 150th time. Go ahead, give it a shot. So when you come to the place, say, I'm coming up this time to get it. And leave the results up to God, amen? God knows what's best. Talked about Uzziah. As long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. And when Uzziah prospered, and God gave him victory over his enemies, remember? And God made him famous. His name spread about. And it says that when Uzziah, as long as he sought the Lord, what, he prospered. But when he got strong, it says his heart was lifted up. His heart was lifted up in his pride. He began to shift away from the one who did it all for him and began to put it upon himself. And in that place, he began to disrespect the Lord. He dishonored the Lord. And he went into the temple and he offered incense on the altar, which was for the priests. And so he violated the law of God because of his pride. And we know that pride cometh before what? A fall. So Uzziah, it should be an example to us that as well as we continue, everybody say continue, to seek the Lord. You didn't have to say that, but I'd like to hear it. As we continue to seek the Lord. This is not something we do on Sunday, right? And then we'll see you next week. We have to walk in that place of intimacy with God. That is where life is. It's not in church services. It's in Jesus Christ himself, who is the author of life, who is with us always. And so as Uzziah sought the Lord blessed him. The Lord had favor on him. He exalted him. But that's the place where we have to be the most careful, isn't it? When God exalts us and things are going our way. Everything's going my way. I don't need to pray as much now. I don't need to, you know, I don't need to spend time in the Word now because everything's going my way. I mean, that's what we do. We got to be very careful about that because take heed lest at any time you think you stand, you fall. It's where we think that we have arrived, where we quit growing, and when you stop growing, we're just like plants, aren't we? We start to wilt. Amen. And some Christians are like that. They come to church, they get a shot from the Lord, and then they go on their way, and for a week they wilt. And next Sunday they come back in, and they're dragging through the door. There's no joy. Their life is just miserable. Well, you know, your life does not have to be miserable. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go your way, but it means that even when it's not going your way, God's grace is greater than that situation. God is able to sustain you. God is able to keep you. God is able to give you peace, even in the midst of trouble. Now, I wanted to talk about something. This is a study I was doing recently about, in the scientific community, they discovered a thing called neuro-linguistic programming. How many have heard of that? Neuro-linguistic programming, or brain language sequence. Now, Tony Kemp spoke about this. Scientists have discovered that every single one of us has a brain language sequence, BLS. Brain language sequence. Now, this is the secular scientific community doing studies on human beings, okay? And I want you to listen to this because it's interesting. You will see that, first of all, we know that all science is supposed to be is a study of what God has already created. Amen? They're just simply discovering what was already there. They're not creating anything. They're just discovering what God had already put in there. That's the true purpose of science, is to discover what's already there that may have been veiled to our eyes. So in the natural man, he's just foolish with God. Amen? We don't understand. We can't comprehend his ways. We need the Spirit to know the mind and the heart of the Father. So some people, he said, are more visual. Others are more audio, and others are more kinesthetic. That means they're the feely type, the people who feel. You have people who are visual. You have people who are audio, right? Audio. They go more on tone, on sound, on speech. And you have those, who, of course, the visuals would be those who are more into pictures. They speak in pictures. They think in pictures. When they think, they're like, do you see what I'm saying? The audio person would say, do you hear what I'm saying? You know? And the kinesthetic person will say, I felt that the Lord may be saying this to you. Now, there's a good reason why we're going to talk about this morning. Some people feel or they sense when they get around people. Anybody here? That sometimes there's something wrong with this picture. Right? Or I sense that this person's really, they've got a good heart. And they're pretty good people to hang out with. You know? Others are not quite as attuned to that sense, but maybe more visual. And they'll be able to read the body language of somebody. You know? And by their body language, they can sometimes tell what's going on. Come on, these nutcases psychics out there, they do that a lot. They look at people and they kind of read body language. They have different ways of doing it. And then some people are just always listening for the tone of voice. By the tone of voice, they're often trying to decipher what that person or what motivates them or what do they really mean or you know, why did you talk to me in that tone of voice? That's an audio person, right? They're really tuned into sound. I'm more of an audio person, actually. I of course, you wouldn't know that, right? But we all have these abilities naturally. And so as we have these natural abilities, just as our body has the five senses, you know, of taste, of sight, of hearing, of feeling, right? So in the spirit, in our spirit man, when it's regenerated, we also have spiritual senses. And in Hebrews, it tells us that we are to hone, we are to develop these spiritual senses. And it's by reason of use that we learn to discern between good and evil. Would you agree that as you get older, you get a little wiser usually? And when you're a child, you swallow everything that comes along. Everybody's nice, right? Or if they act nice, there must be nice people. Until something's happened a few times along the way, then you're becoming a little more cautious. And you begin to read people differently. Now that's a whole other sermon right there. Because sometimes that's what happens to us spiritually, is we get into a place where we don't trust anybody and therefore we don't trust God either. But we need to understand that God can be trusted. Amen. He doesn't mess us up. He doesn't let us down. He's always in our favor. He always wants to see us do good. So visual people tend to learn and communicate in pictures. They talk in pictures. They are very descriptive. They see colors in detail. My daughter's that way. She's very visual. Audio people pay more attention to sound, rhythm, beat, tune, volume. Kinesthetic people or feeling people are more in tune with their feelings. Like, I feel like. I felt like. Oh, how many have ever been deceived by your feelings? So, how many would realize that feelings can be an asset to you, though? What happens is sometimes we just throw the baby out with the bathwater and we just don't rely on our feelings at all. That's an extreme. But what we need to do is we need to develop that sense to the point where we really are in tune with what is and what is not, with the real and the counterfeit. Amen? The same thing with the Spirit. In the Spirit, what we see and what we hear, you know, and what we feel, we need to pay attention to those things. And we need to learn how to discern accurately. And it doesn't happen overnight, but it is a process. And the most important thing is that when we are worshipers of God, when we are in connection with Him in the Spirit, then there's a keener awareness of what God is doing. We begin to understand and discern, all right, His plan, His purpose, His will. There's times when you just know in your knower what God is going to do. You know, you get a word of knowledge. Sometimes it is a still small voice. Other times it's just such an overwhelming sense that it's as if it's audible. And you can move out and step out in that, and you will see God move and God work in that situation. So Hebrews 5 and verse 13 and 14 says we are to train our spiritual senses to discern good and evil. Galatians 3 and 5. First, take a look at this. Genesis 3 and 5. Genesis 3 and 5, big difference. The devil's speaking here to Adam, and he says, "For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, the fruit, the forbidden fruit, your eyes will be what? Open. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, did that happen? Did that happen? Look at verse 7. "And the eyes of both of them were opened after they violated the rule of God." And what they did is they stepped into a dimension that they were never supposed to be in. That was a place that God did not want them, because He did not want them to be exposed to evil. He wanted them to be innocent of it. But when they disobeyed the Lord, indeed, what the devil said came to pass. Their eyes were opened. But the problem was, is that they were open to evil. Amen? They were in innocence, and it wasn't that it was an issue like in yin and yang, you know. And I think it's in Buddhism, it's this yin and yang thing, you know, if good and evil, right? And you got to have a balance of good and evil. No, the problem was, is that life was missing now. They had good and evil, but they did not have life, because in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. They lost, amen? They fell from grace. They fell from God's life. And they became aware of good and evil. And that's why the world is so messed up. That's why bad things happen to good people. That's why there are injustices in the world. That's why children suffer. That's why there are people are killing each other. It's because we have been opened up from the fall, because we disobeyed God and we came under the power, man originally came under the power of Satan. Because he bowed his knee to Satan, now his eyes were open to evil. Therefore, through the imagination, man is capable of indescribable evil. Are you with me? And so that is a negative, all right, of what's happened to us. But when we come to Christ Jesus, we receive a new nature. Amen? When we're born again, born of the Spirit, we receive a new nature. That now we have received a new man, if you will. We become a new creation that is able now to hear the voice of God, to see and perceive what God is doing, and to sense and discern. Amen? What God is doing, what God is about. We receive the mind of Christ, that we may know what is freely given to us. So these spiritual senses have now, and that's why when you first get saved especially, there's such a shift. If you've been like me in darkness and you came into light, it's like, whoa, what a difference, right? Because now your spiritual eyes have been opened. Not to behold good and evil, but to behold Christ. Oh. And when we behold Him who is life, that was what was missing. The good and evil is still there. And when you live in the realm of the good and evil, you live under bondage. You live under law. You live in the realm of the soul. You live in the realm of self-savior and trying and to live to please God. Whereas you've got to shift away from you. Shift away from what you can do and look at what Jesus has already done. Look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that opens our eyes that we may see Him. The answer to Moses' prayer, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Shoo. And so it was a result of the fall that our eyes had been opened to know both good and evil. Now James chapter 4 and verse 8, most of us know this verse. It says, draw near to God. And He will what? Draw near to you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. How do we draw near to God? We draw near to God through worship. Worship is the way that you draw near to God. Come before His presence with what? Singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Come before Him with an offering. Amen? Offer your body, offer your life. That is worship to God. It's not something we do on Sunday. It's a way of life. I live for the King day in and day out. He is my life. No longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And so we have to shift away from self. Turn away from ourselves to Christ. For the old man is dead. Reckon him dead. Don't let him resurrect. He's always going to try to come back. Amen? Just keep him down there. Starve him to death. Quit feeding that part of you. Quit feeding that old nature. Amen? Whatever you look at, be careful with little eyes what you see. Little ears what you hear. And mouth what you're saying. Because your words also are very powerful, are they not? What you say can change the whole atmosphere in your life. Hallelujah. That's why when we praise and we bless the Lord, together, heaven invades this place. Amen? It's just heavenly. Hallelujah. Because God inhabits what? Praise. So the key here, folks, is that the Father is looking for worshipers. And the reason why we're spending so much time on this is because if we really do not get this in our spirit and really don't understand the importance that our life is to be an expression of worship, everything else that this is all supposed to be about flows out of worship. Life comes from worship to God. Draw near to God through praise and thanksgiving and offerings. Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, remember, his prayers and his alms came up before God as a memorial. It got the Lord's attention. The Bible says in Revelation that the prayers of the saints are like an incense before the throne of grace. Amen? This, our prayers and our praises and our thanksgiving and our offerings are coming up before God, and it gets God's attention. And when you got God looking at you, guess what? Gold teeth are going to show up. Good things are going to come your way. Hallelujah. Because He's a good God. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. He said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, this is the call of Isaiah. He said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me, Isaiah said. Go and tell, the Lord said, this people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make their ears, the eyes of the people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their ears, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Now we know, first of all, it starts in the natural. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing with these ears, right? We heard the message. But words are spiritual. Are they not? Can anybody see the word they just spoke? You can't see it. Why? Because it releases something. It's a spiritual thing. That's why words can really either destroy or build somebody. That's right. And it can mess your life up. Depends on how you want to use it. You know, power of life and death is in the tongue, and those who love it shall eat the fruit of it. So we got to really shift our thinking, you know, guard ourselves, guard what we say, what's coming out of our mouth, what we're thinking on, because usually what you're thinking and dwelling on will come out of your mouth. And so we got to guard ourselves with all diligence. Guard your heart. Don't allow the enemy to feed that old selfish nature. Amen? Starve it out. Kill it. Keep it dead. Stay filled up in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. So here we see the Lord is saying, having ears, not hearing, having eyes, not what? Seeing. These are perceptions. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. This is an audio of Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. Now, remember in Luke chapter 8 and verse 46, this is talking about the woman with the issue of blood. As she clawed her way through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and Jesus is walking through a crowd, and the crowds are pressing upon Jesus. Remember this, right? And they're surrounding Jesus, and all of a sudden Jesus stops, and he says, "Who touches me? Who touched me?" And the disciples are saying, "Well, Lord, how could you say who touched you? Everybody's mauling you." He said, "I perceive." And that word means I felt. He sensed. He felt something leave him. He felt virtue, power go out of him. And somebody got his attention, you see. Somebody got God's attention. And it was this woman's faith and her tenacity, all right, to pursue Jesus, to be a worshiper of Jesus, to make her way. Regardless of the opinions of people, regardless of what the crowd might have thought about her, or even if it cost her life, it could have cost her life. She was not going to be deterred. She was not going to be stopped from reaching the hem of his garment, the rabbi. Amen? The rabbi of life, Jesus Christ. And Jesus stops and said, "I perceive that virtue has gone out from me." Shabbat. So your spirit responds very much the same way as your body. The reason this is important, folks, is because people sometimes feel that they're inferior Christians because they don't move or operate the same way somebody else does. Anybody here feel that sometimes? Maybe you've prayed for God to use you a certain way, or you see somebody else and you happen to like their gift and you're just praying over and over and over, "God, give me that, give me, give me, give me." And God is trying to get you and I to discover who we are. To tap into who you are in Christ. He's already given you precious gifts, amen? What we need to do is we need to discover who we are. And you're not going to do that unless you walk by faith. Unless you step out for Jesus. Unless you get out of the boat and onto the water. Amen? It's not going to happen in the boat. It's going to happen on the water. It's on the water, amen, where Jesus was. And so we need to get out of the boat. All right. Isaiah 30 and 21 says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you." This is the audible, auditory. "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it." Audible Christians, people. Some Christians are very much, they're word people. All right? Now, sometimes word people will look at people who are more visual and they say, "How come they're not more into the Word like I am?" And yet they will criticize them because they're having dreams and visions and God is showing up in a different way. Now, do we all need to be in the Word? Absolutely. Do we all need to know the Word? Absolutely. But we're not all going to function the same way. And so just because God uses you different doesn't make you odd. It just means you're different. And different is good. I'm glad we're all different. Peculiar is the word. Visual, Isaiah 1:1, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Visual. Kinesthetic, Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. That means be touched with the feeling of, in the King James. Be touched with the feeling of. Jesus can empathize. Do you know anybody that's just like Lee? Who just has got such a sense about what people are going through. She can feel their pain. She's just right there, you know? where some of us, we're tuned in a little differently to a different type of frequency. But some people, I've known, even working with teenagers, you know, I've had them, boy, if you you don't mess with their friend either. You know, you don't talk bad about my friend, because they'll jump right in, they'll jump right all over you. But it's important to realize that some people are just more, they're more cut out for feeling things out. All right, they just sense things in their spirit. Others are speaking and receiving in pictures. Corinne is one, right? You get the visuals. God uses her more so in visuals. But what we need to understand is all of these gifts are important if they're working together. We all work together, okay? And you can be content by who you are in Christ, all right? Because there's not another one of you. And if you try to be somebody else, you're not going to be who you are. And somebody's going to suffer because you were designed to be a part of a body. So working together. And worship is the key. Worship is what brings all of these manifestations of the kingdom into this realm, where it invades the kingdom of darkness, where it destroys the work of the enemy. Amen? When somebody is delivered, when somebody is saved, when somebody is healed, the works of the devil are being destroyed by the kingdom of God, invading this reality. Amen? So that's what we want. We don't want to live in the realm of the soul where it's just about getting a few goosebumps, amen, on Sunday morning. Come on. But we want to live in the realm where there is evidence. Faith has evidence. Throughout Scripture, the theme is faith has evidence. Their faith was validated by what they accomplished for God, which they could not do themselves. Very key. You know it's God when it was something you couldn't do. And when you're living a life that is in the supernatural, then you're living a life that pleases God. Come on. Yep, think about it. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is believing that even though I don't know how we're going to pay the bills, you know, somehow God's going to come through. I'm hanging on. By faith, I'm going to bring that which is in heaven to earth. I'm going to believe God for it. Because when you're in a place where you can't do it, then God can show up and do it. Amen? And when He comes and He does it, He is glorified. And we give Him praise for it. Hallelujah. God wants His people to be joyful. He wants His people to be full of praise. And we're full of praise when we walk by faith. Why? Because we see evidence of the invisible kingdom as it invades this kingdom. Hallelujah. And we disperse the darkness with the light. Amen? We see evidence through the Word of God, preaching the Word itself, how it drives out darkness. I'm almost done. Listen, don't think that there's something wrong with you, okay? Because maybe you do not see or hear or receive knowledge or revelation the same way others do. Because maybe you don't have visions on the level that other people do. Sometimes it just means it's something that hasn't been developed yet. Okay? But I can tell you story after and testimony after testimony of people in high-profile places that are kingdom and world shakers and movers. Dr. Cho and Billy Graham and other people. Joyce Myers, you know, that are God is using in a mighty way, you know. And yet they don't have necessarily the types of manifestations that others do. As a matter of fact, Dr. Cho, of course, we know who he is in Korea, the largest church in the world. His wife is the one who's the more visual in the family and receives the dreams and the visions. And yet God uses him more in the audio. But together, you see, they are powerful. And there's safety when we are identifying and the gifts of one another. We are discerning the body of Christ. No longer judging according to the outward man or the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I see it many times where well, people will come up and they want certain people to pray for them because, you know, they're the guru or they're the great one, you know, and they'll bypass a brother or sister who has the same Holy Spirit, who can activate faith and have and see the glory of God, amen? Yet, so often in our natural, we just kind of judge according to, you know. That's why when certain high-profile preachers, you remember, have fallen into sin, what happened? Thousands and thousands of their followers and flock, they all went, they just scattered because they were putting their faith in a man. So you are important. You have something that is precious to the body of Christ. And you are going to activate that. You are going to see that. You are going to move in that reality as you worship. We're done. Would you stand? Hallelujah.